Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
Okay, family, you can find me on Acts 13 right now, and we start at verse 44. The next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. But when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and began to contradict what was spoken by Paul, reviling him. And Paul and Barnabas spoke up boldly, saying, "It was necessary that the word of God be spoken first to you, since you thrust it aside and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life. Behold, we are turning to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us, saying, 'I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth.' And when the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord. And as many as were appointed to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord is spreading throughout the whole region. But the Jews incited the devout women of high standing and the leading men of the city, stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and drove them out of their district. But they shook off the dust up from their feet against them and went to Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit."
Thank you, Marius. Father, let us pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for this time that we can come together as a family and hear from you. And we pray, Father God, that as we set our eyes, as we set our minds and our hearts on you, Lord God, that you would speak to each and every one of us right where we are. Have your way. Holy Spirit, we welcome you in this place. In Jesus' mighty and wonderful name. We are going through our series at the moment called Transformers. Everyone say Transformers. Okay, and so the title of my message this morning, so we've been looking through the book of Acts, and we've been looking at some specific characters throughout the book of Acts. And so far we've looked at Peter, we've looked at Stephen, and then last week Pastor Nelly at camp spoke about the church in Antioch. And so today we're going to be looking at Paul, okay? Paul. Paul's pretty, he's a pretty tight character. And we're going to look at from Christian persecutor to church planter. Okay, and so, you know, as I said at the beginning, you know, I grew up in Wellington, New Zealand. And growing up in Wainuiomata, in Wellington, good Wainui, you know, I started off playing soccer. And yeah, soccer was my first thing that I got introduced to sport. And so, you know, as I got older into like my intermediate years, I think that might be like year five or six, right? Yeah, I got to intermediate, then I sort of shifted to rugby. Even as a 11 or 12-year-old, I dreamed of wearing the black jersey. That was the dream of every New Zealand kid. I want to play for the All Blacks. No matter how bad of a player you are, I want to play for the All Blacks, right? And so, and even rugby at that time, it was like worshipped by all of New Zealand. Rugby was massive. And so for me, looking back at it, it's interesting that the skills that I learned in soccer, they crossed over pretty well into rugby. Skills like footwork, speed, agility, positional awareness, those were the sort of skills that I had in soccer. They were able to run pretty well within the rugby setting. I didn't have to relearn these skills. It was just more of developing them for the new environment that I was in. And this is what I see in Paul. He had a special set of skills that he had learned, right? But when he encountered Jesus, he was transformed in such an amazing and deep way that the skills that he already had were now being used in a different way. We are all transformed by God, empowered by His Holy Spirit, to do great things, to fulfill God's plan, right? You believe that? Yes. Each and every one of us have been given unique skills, a unique set of gifts by God. In James 1, verse 17, it says this, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above." Every good gift, every perfect gift is from God. Paul reminds us in his letter to the Romans in 11:36, "For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. And so from him, all things come from God. They come from God. The plan is from God. This isn't our idea. It's God's idea. It's God's plan. Through him, we get to free ourselves from the prison of sin and self. And it's only through him. It's only through Jesus. It's only through the great work of Jesus on our behalf that he gives us this gift of salvation. Through him. Through Jesus. And it's to him. It's not for me, and it's not just for you, but it's all to God. It's all to glory for God's glory, right? You know, when we arrive at this place of like, where we have this revelation, where we get this revelation that our life that we've been given, the life that we each have, is for the glory of God. That I have been transformed by God to be a representative of Jesus, to do the will of the Father. When we arrive at that place, something should change. Something should be different about us. Paul is this amazing person because not only did he write like two-thirds of the New Testament Bible, but before he became Paul, he was known as Saul, Saul of Tarsus. And as Saul of Tarsus, he was this roaming persecutor that was actively searching out these early Christians. He oversaw the arrests and even consented to the execution of Stephen. Remember a couple of weeks ago, I spoke about Stephen, and who's the guy who's holding the cloaks of the men that are stoning Jesus, Stephen? Paul, or Saul at that time. Saul is the guy holding their cloaks. And so he's saying, oh yeah, he deserves it, right? And so he's there. And so when we think of Saul's initial set of skills, right? Number one, one of his initial set of skills is that he was a Pharisee and a Jewish scholar, right? Saul was educated in the Jewish law and tradition. He was trained under this highly respected Pharisee by the name of Gamaliel. He's mentioned in Acts 22. And so he's a student of Judaism. And so he saw emerging Christian movement as a threat to the way of his Jewish life, the law that he knew. And he saw these Christians, these people who believed in this Jesus, as a threat to that. He was fully committed to the religion of Judaism, embracing it as a way of life for him. He lived according to the Jewish laws, the rituals, the customs, right? He lived by the book that they went by, the Torah, right? And so the Torah was the Jewish holy scriptures. And so it's the first five books of the Old Testament. He knew this like the back of his hand. And he followed it to the letter. The other skill of Saul of Tarsus was that he was highly motivated. He was highly motivated. Saul's zeal for Judaism led him to persecute Christians, because he saw them as a threat to the belief that he knew was, that he thought was the truth. This was the only way. And these people don't believe? Nah, they don't know the truth. That was Paul's, this was Saul's thinking, right? And so he would travel all over Judea, he would travel all over Israel to literally stomp out these believers. Literally finding them, taking them by the collar and throwing them into prison. That was his passion, that was his desire to do, because these people didn't believe in what he believed in. Remember that after the stoning of Stephen, the disciples were dispersed, right? They were pushed out into other towns, into other nations. And this was in fulfillment of what Jesus had spoken of to his disciples in Acts 1:8, right? He says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. This is what Jesus was telling his disciples. Paul was highly motivated. So one of these On one of these journeys, that he was on. He went to Damascus to find more of these Christians, to bring them back and to throw them in prison. And so when we look at the growth of Christianity, right, it started off here in Jerusalem. And it said that it spread from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And so the distance from Jerusalem up here to Damascus, this is the distance that Saul is having to travel to find these Christians. He's going to travel all this. This is something like hundreds of kilometers, 130, 150 kilometers from Jerusalem up to Damascus. Who would walk 130 kilometers, man? Someone who's very passionate and believes in what he's following, right? So the gospel is expanding, but so too was the thirst of Saul to bring these Christians down. Saul's transformation happened on the way to Damascus. And so Paul is following the growth, right? He's hearing stories that, oh, they're up here in Damascus now. They're moving around, they're expanding. And so he's, I got to go and take care of this. And so he makes his way to Damascus. And it's on the road to Damascus that he encounters the resurrected Jesus in Acts chapter 9. A bright light from heaven struck him, right? And it says that he heard the voice of Jesus say to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? This encounter left Saul blinded and extremely shaken. Because he was like, oh my gosh, who is this? And he refers to him as Lord. And so as Saul is pursuing the Jesus followers, the risen Jesus appears to Saul himself. And this encounter would blow in Saul's mind, right? He's going, why are you talking to me? I'm chasing your people. But you're talking to me? You're saying that I'm persecuting you? His faith didn't see Jesus as the one to come and set the people free. They were looking out for someone else. They were expecting someone else, right? They weren't expecting it to be Jesus. But now that the resurrected Jesus had appeared to Saul, nothing in all of Saul's knowledge and learning could now explain away what Jesus was talking to him about. Because Jesus had now appeared to him. He was talking to him. So Saul, now humbled and transformed, was led into Damascus where he meets a Christian by the name of Ananias. And Ananias prays for him, and Saul regains his sight. And he's baptized, and this marks the conversion of his Christianity, and it's covered in Acts 9, verses 10 to 19. And so Saul of Tarsus now becomes known as Paul the Apostle. Now Paul is playing with a new set of skills now, right? And his first set of skills that he has is that now he has faith in Jesus. This is his new set of skills that he gets. His encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus changed his life forever. It transformed him from this Christian persecutor to now a Christ follower. Right? It transformed his thinking. It transformed how he saw everybody else. It transformed how he looked at his own belief. He went from wanting to seek and destroy Christians to now becoming one of the most influential figures in the early Christian church. When he put his faith in Jesus, this brought a new meaning to his life. He still had the same knowledge, he still had the same wisdom, and he still had the same passion and motivation. But now, this was all being directed by Jesus and not the law that he knew. Remember that Jesus said that he came to fulfill the law, right? So as Jesus has fulfilled the law, that Saul knew the law better than probably anybody else at that time, because he was this great thinker, this great he was a scholar, right? He was an academic. He knew this stuff. And it is Jesus that has now appeared to him. And Jesus says that he came to fulfill the law. And so Paul now saw that his faith was now made complete through faith in Jesus and not faith in his law that he knew. It was made in the Christ that appeared to him, that revealed himself to him. And now it was like, oh my gosh, the law that I'm trying to live out, it isn't about the law anymore. It's about Jesus now. Yesterday, me and my wife, we were watching a documentary yesterday. Anyone see this documentary called Blue Zones? Blue Zones? Yeah, okay. Not documentary fans? Okay, that's all right. And so it's Blue Zones is this term that's coined by this this author and researcher by the name of Dan Buettner. And so he describes regions as blue zones for where people that live longer, healthier lives and have a higher percentage of, they call them centenarians, you know what I mean. They live over 100, okay? My lips aren't big enough to say that word correctly, but they live over 100. And one of these places is identified as having this high rate of, you know, people who live over 100 is this place called Okinawa in Japan, right? I was a bit of a Karate Kid fan, so you would know Okinawa, right? Yeah, Chris knows. He's smiling. Like, yeah, Okinawa, right? Mr. Miyagi, right? Yeah, okay, watch Karate Kid. What, Karate Kid 2? Thank you, Chris. Watch Karate Kid 2. Not this new stuff, man. The original Karate Kid 2, right? Right? Yeah, okay, watch Karate Kid. But anyway, back to the story here. So the researcher, Dan, he asked this lady, what was the secret? What's the secret to your long, active life that you live? And she used this word called ikigai. And so ikigai is this Japanese concept that translates to mean a reason for being, a reason to wake up in the morning. And so it represents the idea of finding your deep sense of purpose, your deep sense of fulfillment and satisfaction in life. Paul had found his ikigai. Right? He had discovered his purpose in life. And it was to preach the gospel. Do you know your ikigai? The other new set of skills that Paul was now received is this, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Right? The empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Ananias prays for Paul and he lays hands on him. And Paul receives back his sight and he's filled with the Holy Spirit. And it will be the Holy Spirit who will play this major role in Paul's life, in leading and directing his footsteps, telling him where to go, directing him in his ministry life. No longer is he seeking to destroy people, but now he's seeking to declare the truth of Christ. Paul has different motivation now. He's no longer persecuting Christ, but now he's preaching Christ. So what does Paul do with these new skills? He goes back to the same field that he came from. But this time he's playing for a different team. This time he's playing for the right team. This time he's playing for Team Jesus. And Team Jesus has a specific mission. Team Jesus has a specific purpose, a specific calling from God. And that is to take the message of the good news and to proclaim it, to tell people about it, to go into all the world and make disciples, to tell people of the message of hope that is only in Jesus, to go into our communities, into our cities and our nations, and to the ends of the earth. This is now this transformed Paul. This is Paul the missionary. This is Paul, the church planter. Now, a key identifier in Paul's ministry was that he got a revelation about who they should be taking the gospel to. Because at that time, the gospel was only taken to the Jews. But Paul got this revelation. In verse 47, it tells us that Paul says that the Lord had commanded them, both him and Barnabas, to take the light for the Gentiles so that they too would have salvation. So Jesus has gotten a hold of Paul, and he chooses Paul to be the one to take this message to the Gentiles, to take this message not just for the Jews, But it's for everybody. It's for everybody, this message. And so Paul and Barnabas, they embark on several missionary trips. This being one of them from our passage today. And they're going around, traveling all around the Roman Empire to share this message. And it is in this process that he plants churches in various cities, including Antioch, Corinth, Ephesus, and Thessalonica. Now, I don't want you to be scared off by church planter. I'm not a church planter. That's not me. Church planters are made up of teams. We're a team, okay? We have been called with the same calling of taking the gospel message to the ends of the earth. And that means planting churches. And that means that we are missionaries, right? We have been called to be missionaries. We have been called to be church planters. Every Nation Logan is a church that has come out of a church plant. We are a church plant, right? And so as a church plant, shouldn't we also continue to plant churches then? It's in our DNA. It's in who we are. It's in, you know, our very being. That's what makes us. We came out of the seed of church plant. And so we must continue to sow this seed of church planting. And so, don't worry. I'm not going to send you out by yourself to go plant a church. Okay, breathe. Just breathe. Okay? No. Let's start right here in our Jerusalem. Let's start right here, right where we're living. Right? Let's begin to build with people around us, right? Wherever you live, your neighbors, maybe your kids are in a local school, maybe start building with the parents there, the other kids in the school. You know, our church is even part of a movement that believes in church planting and campus ministries, right? It's our vision that we hear Mike's voice every Sunday at the end of our service, right? Right? You know how it goes. Right? Let's read this together. Okay? Every Nation Logan is part of every nation family of churches and ministries that exist Christ-centered, spirit-empowered, socially responsible churches and campus ministries in every nation. That's us. So we've probably watched it like 50 million times and we thought, oh, that's someone else. No, that's you. That's me. That's our responsibility, right? Church planting is in our DNA. It's in who we are. And we don't just plant churches just for the sake of it. But what we're doing is we're continuing to do what God has called us to do, right? We're doing what God has called us to do as a transformed son and daughter of God. He calls us to be missionaries. He calls us to be church planters. We are all called to begin in our Jerusalem, in our local community. So here are a couple of things that I wanted to highlight for our passage from our passage today that I think that can help us to see and go into our community around us. Okay? And we see these things in the way that Paul ministered and built churches on his various missionary trips that he took. Okay, so number one, engage with the community. In Acts 13:44, the next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. Everyone say, gathered. We need to start. We need to start by going to places where people are gathering. Okay, where are people gathering? One place where people are gathering is in our communities, right? You may live in a local park, right? Begin there, right? Lucas likes hanging out at their Tigern Park, right? I'm sure other people are there doing stuff as well, you know, riding around, enjoying the park, maybe fishing, even though it's illegal there, but that's all right, you know. But you know, being around people, right? Just being around people, hey, you know, doing your thing, begin a conversation. You know, another one, you may hear a lot of this, Silverbacks, right? Come to Silverbacks. And don't worry, you don't have to. You may be saying, I know you're saying, I don't like the exercise anymore. Oh, don't worry. You don't have to exercise at my rate. You exercise at your rate, okay? Right? You just exercise. Probably one of the most encouraging things that I see. I see one of the ladies that comes here. There they go. Okay, so I love what Karen and Maria, when they come to Silverbacks. Yes, we do. We have our workout that we're doing. But these beautiful ladies, if they aren't doing the workout, they're walking up and down, chatting and stuff like that. And that's cool, and when we see that, and then when it comes to the moment of get a touch, everyone's encouraging, like, get a touch. They're right in there, get a touch. Yeah. But they're amongst it. They're there, right? They may not be doing the workout, but they're there amongst us. They're encouraging one another, right? Oh, sorry, get a touch is a high five. Sorry, I saw, Kim was explaining to her neighbor there. So high five, okay? When you hear get a touch, it's a high five. Okay, so get a touch with the person next to you, give them a high five. Give a neighbor a high five. Give your neighbor a high five, There we go, thank you. Okay, understanding? Get a touch. And so that's your invitation, okay? Monday night, 6 p.m., Saturday morning, 7 a.m., okay? Come on down and have some fun with us. But these are ways that we can engage with people, right? These are opportunities for us to engage. Maybe your kids are involved in sport, right? I remember when my son, I shared this before, when my son was playing soccer for a local club, and I would just, go to the trainings, and I'd park up, and I'd say, yeah, go, son, see you later, I'll wait for you here. And then, on the phone. And then the team, his team, about probably 5 or 6 games into the season, his team needed a manager. And, I thought, oh, I don't want to be a manager. I have to talk to people. And so I was thinking, okay, I was praying to God, okay, I want to help this team out. And so I put an email together. I thought, okay, Lord, if he answers it, then awesome, I'll do it. I'll humbly do it. But I know someone else has already done it. Because the coach sent out a message to all the parents asking about someone, if they could come and manage the team. And so I sent the email. And literally, honestly, like 30 seconds later, ding. And said, thank you, Henry, for accepting the role of the manager. I was like, oh, no. It was like, oh. But, that forced me to get out of my car and go and be amongst the boys, be around the coach, be around the parents there, even on the sideline, just talking with the parents, encouraging their kids along. Those are opportunities for us to display, to show the love and kindness of Christ to people, right? We don't have to be beating the drum from preaching at people. Just show the love of Christ to them. Be with them. Walk with, they may be going through some tough stuff in life. But just be there to hey, can I pray with you? Or hey, can I buy you a coffee? Hey, can I do something for you? Right? That's what it is. If we just see that this is it, it's all about just, oh, you just got to get them to Sunday and hear whoever stands up here and preaches the word, then what is the rest of your life about? The rest of your life is about you being the church out there. The rest from Monday to Saturday, that's your opportunity for you to preach. And it may be through cooking a meal. It may be through inviting someone over to your place for a coffee or just for a chat. Hang out with your kids or something. Or even, hanging out at a local park. See those opportunities as ways of sowing seed. Amen? Is that all right? Okay, so me and my wife, we like to go to the gym, and she does more than me. You probably see that on Insta. But I like to go to the gym, and one thing I really admire about my wife is that she goes to the group fitness classes. Who likes group fitness classes? Oh, two people, yeah. The rest of my peeps, you my peeps. But yeah, it's like, oh my gosh, that's so hard. They're so hard. And then My wife, she goes around there, she's meeting people, she's doing stuff together, she's chatting, and me, I just go do my weights, put my hoodie on, put my headphones on, and I'm doing work, man, doing work. I was like, ah, but I see my wife, I'm like, oh my gosh, I should go talk to someone. So when I see people, hey bro, how are you? You know, but it's like, I can get so caught up in just, I'm just here to do me. I'm just here to focus on me. If we're not aware and looking around at people and making contact, maybe it's just a smile. You know, you smile at someone, they smile at you back. And then maybe next time it's a, hey, how are you? Oh, good, good, you know. But those are those opportunities to build and engage with our community. You get that? You get that? Even in school, right? You know, in our classroom, when I was in school a long time ago, in our class, like, you see those classrooms, they have those cliques in it, right? You know, the little gatherings of, like, you know, all the Samojans over here, all the nerds over here, all the science guys all over here, right? And it was like, you know, you didn't really mingle with the other group, right? You just stuck with your group of guys. Even when it came to lunchtime, you know, all the sporty people, they would be like bullying the, you know, those who all had lunch, right? They'll be, give me your lunch, I'll give you a hiding. I didn't do that. I wasn't like that. I was a good Christian boy. But, you know, it was in those cliques, it was in those environments that, you know, you got to see, oh man, we don't really step out and you know, build with other people. And it wasn't until, like, I failed school cert. It's like fifth form, I don't know what that is, but school certificate. And so I only passed one subject, you're supposed to pass three to go to the next, you know, to form six, and I failed. And so that year, when I repeated my year, I felt so stink. And you know what? It forced me to get new friends. I started hanging out with the Balangis because they were brainier. And so, see, I was brainy then. You know, I got it. Hang out with the right people, man. And honestly, that second year, I got four subjects passed. Who do you hang out with, right? You know? Look at who you're hanging out with, man. But, you know, engaging with the people around us. We can learn some things, okay? We can learn some things, okay? So, let's go. Next one. Okay, meeting with people where they are. Meeting with people where they are. Okay, so Paul and Barnabas, they didn't wait. They didn't wait for people to come to church. They went to them. They knew that the synagogues was this place, this gathering place for people to go to. And so they went there, right? What places are you going to? What places are we going to meet people, to engage with people, right? Is it a sports team? Is it a gym? Is it a local park? Is it maybe, you know, a mall or something? But where are you going to meet with people, right? Okay, number three, preach the word, okay? Verse 46, and Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly, saying it was necessary. By saying it was necessary that the word of God be spoken first to you, since you thrust it aside and judged yourselves unworthy of eternal life. Behold, we are turning to the Gentiles, right? And so Paul and Barnabas, they proclaimed, they did what God had called them to do, right? Speaking boldly, the message. We should have this priority, this desire in each and every one of us to want to preach the gospel. And don't think that, oh no, only preachers do that, or only pastors do that. No, you too have to preach the gospel. You too need to know the gospel to communicate it with someone. And it may begin with just you sharing your testimony of what God has done in you. What has God changed about you? What's the journey that God has taken you through? The transformation of Paul's thinking from Christian persecutor to church planter was very evident in the way that he continued to be in the community, right? Paul wasn't just a full-time preacher. Nah, he was bivocational. He had a job as well. He was a tent maker, right? He did stuff with other people. And so he was even in places. He would go to the synagogue, but then he would work, right? He would be around environments where people were gathering, right? And so I hope we're seeing the different environments that we gather in, whether it's in school, whether it's in our workplaces, or whether it's out in, you know, in parks or gyms or whatever. I hope we see these places as these are possible fishing ponds for us. It's a fishing pond for me to be able to fish for people, to encourage people, to come alongside people and encourage them, right? Does that make sense? Are we meeting people where they are at? Number four, address objections and opposition. And Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly. But when they saw the Jews, when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and began to contradict what was spoken by Paul, reviling him. We need to be prepared for opposition, for objections, for even challenges from people, right? And I know there's going to be some times where you think, oh, I don't know the answer to it. And that's okay. You just say, bro, sis, I don't know the answer for that, but I'll go talk to someone and I'll come back to you, right? And come back to them with the answer, okay? Don't say you come back to them and you don't come back to them. Come back to them with the answer, okay? And have a conversation, because now it becomes a point of conversation. Now it becomes something that you can talk more about. Let them discover that, right? It's not just you preaching at them. It's not you just telling them and they're like quoting scripture and stuff like that. It's about you having a conversation with them, talking through their life, talking through your life, your journey, right? And then number five, rely on the Holy Spirit. In verse 52, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Depend on the guidance and empowerment of the Holy Spirit in all aspects of our life. Learn to lean on Him, right? Learn to be more aware and acknowledge His presence. We are called to be missionaries. We're called to be church planters, right? So I hope you don't see those words as, oh, nah, I'm not a missionary. Nah, I'm not a church planter. No, you are. We are. We can do this together. Right? God's word lays out for us the blueprint to reach people, to reach nations, to reach generations. God's word gives us the strategies and principles from which we can effectively reach the nations and the generations with the message of the gospel. I used my skills that I learned in soccer to become a better rugby player when I changed to that sport. Paul used his skills that he learned as a young scholar, as a young academic, to transition from a Christian persecutor to a church planter. So what are you doing with your transformed life? What are you doing with the gifts that God has given to you? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your word this morning. Thank you for reminding us about what you have called us to. We are transformed to be your representatives. We are transformed to be your missionaries. We are transformed to be your church planters. Thank you for the unique gifting that you have given to each and every one of us here this morning. Thank you for the skills and talents that you have embedded into each and every one of us. May we see these gifts and talents as coming from you and to be used to glorify you, Father. And so, Lord, help us to see and engage with our community around us. Help us to rely on your Holy Spirit to guide our conversations, to guide our footsteps, transform our hearts and our minds to meet people where they are and to share with them the free and beautiful gift of salvation that is offered through Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus. And we ask these things in the mighty and wonderful name of Jesus. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.